everybody. So we've talked about the US. We know that the situation in the US is tragic and an emergency. But we may think that abortion in Europe is not an active topic anymore, or that it has been fought for and won. But as we gather here to protest against the situation in the United States and all over the world, I would like to offer a reminder of the fragility of abortion access also in Europe. Some countries in Europe have only very recently started allowing abortion, Ireland only in 2018, for example, and Switzerland in 2002. In Malta or Andorra, abortion is still prohibited, even when pregnancy poses a risk to the parent's life. In Malta and Andorra, which are European countries, if you have a pregnancy that's threatening your life and might kill you, you are forced to go through with it. So we are all in danger of following the same fate. Countries like Poland still only allow abortion in cases of rape, incest, or medical risk to the parent. In other European countries, access is severely limited through strict and unfair laws. In Bosnia, for instance, free access is only permitted up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. We've talked about the six-week abortion ban. 10 weeks of pregnancy does not give you enough time to realize that you've missed a period. Not to say, as Katie said before, that sometimes you have to rely on other symptoms. Due to an education about bodies that menstruate, we don't know that you can still have a period while you're pregnant. So a 10-week or 6-week abortion ban is incredibly abusive. In Portugal, it is only 11 weeks. As we know, pregnancy weeks are also counted from the start of your last period, so it's just not enough time. For those people who suffer with irregular periods or take contraception, which might stop your period, as is my case, you just don't realize in time before you're forced to continue your pregnancy. Teenagers, in addition, and people that are in abusive relationships might not have access to pregnancy tests. In Italy or Spain, medical professionals can refuse to conduct an abortion on the basis of their conscience or ideological perceptions. That means that in highly religious areas, like the south of Spain, you can be allowed an abortion by the law, but there's simply not any doctors around you that will surpass their ideological concerns to provide it for you. Can we imagine if doctors were allowed to refuse treating a tumor or reanimating a patient? This is an incredibly dangerous precedent. Perhaps the most insidious form of control over people seeking an abortion, which has already come up, are the counseling laws, which are present in 95% of all European countries. These laws are disguised as protecting pregnant people from rushing into an abortion or making a mistake, but end up further traumatizing patients and adding considerable anxiety to the termination process. If we take Germany as an example, we have some pamphlets here today that tell you in detail how to access an abortion in Germany. The laws state that someone seeking an abortion must first visit a gynecologist who will confirm the pregnancy and provide certificate 1. Necessary to access counseling. Then the person must locate a counseling center where they must attend a session providing information and options and ensuring that they're aware of the implications of terminating a pregnancy. This counseling may be provided by the church. After undergoing counseling, you obtain certificate 2. Then you must bring the certificates to a doctor who must be independent, so not the first gynecologist, another one, where you may access the procedure. And as we know, these doctors were not allowed to advertise that they did the procedures. So you've gathered all your certificates and you show up to the doctor. You want to do it as fast as possible because it is time sensitive. If, as in the case of Katie, you realize late, but no, you have to wait 3 days because people that get pregnant and menstruate are not thought as people able of rational thought that cannot make a decision in less than 3 days. So you wait 3 days and then you may access the procedure. These regulations infantilize people, also women. They allow institutions which are not neutral, like the church, to prey on highly vulnerable people and assume bad intentions from medical professionals. There is no clear reason for abortions to have to be performed by an independent gynecologist and not your trusted doctor. There is no reason for counseling, especially religious counseling, not to be optional. An abortion is a medical procedure, and it should be subjected to the same principle of informed consent as any other, such as a tumor removal. We can see similar regulations applied to people attempting to access gender-affirming procedures sought by transgender and gender non-conforming people. In Germany, those seeking hormones or any gender-affirming surgery must subject themselves to a long and grueling assessment period during which they must undergo multiple medical and legal examinations, pay fees of almost 2,000 euros before even getting into the long medical queue for the procedures. Similarly to abortion access, there is little regulation ensuring that the psychotherapists in charge of these assessments remain neutral and don't further traumatize the interested person. German trans people, when interviewed about this process, have described being asked about their sexual history and even makeup application, in spite of the World Health Organization declaring being transgender as not a mental disorder. Gender-affirming procedures, like abortion, are moralized. They are separated from other medical procedures, exclusively because of morality and ideology, highly religious ideology, and they're subjected to ideological stereotypes. In Germany, as in much of Europe, this is based in Christianity. But in the case of abortion, Christianity has been voluble. The church's initial rejection of abortion was only based on the belief that abortion was a sign of sexual sin, that is, sex before marriage, a practice that we can all agree is pretty acceptable today, except in fringe conservative communities. In the 1300s, in medieval times, the widespread position was that a soul only inhabited the fetus when it became fully formed, that is, at birth. So abortion was not thought of as murder, and sometimes even provided by the church, as in cases of infidelity. A passage of the Bible even says, a pregnant woman who is injured and aborts the fetus warrants financial compensation only to her husband, suggesting that a fetus is property, not a person. In spite of these contradictions, the modern church generally opposes abortion, comparing it to homicide and even contraception. Sadly, governments, even today, base their laws on religious ideology, a tradition largely upheld in the past by fascist regimes. In Italy, during Mussolini's dictatorship, abortion was entirely outlawed and access to birth control was restricted. During the Nazi period in Germany, abortion was severely punished for Aryan women, but encouraged for non-white individuals and babies expected to be disabled in any form. This in particular has been chillingly reflected in modern US politics, as in spite of the move towards reproductive health restrictions, only 2 years ago, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement body, ICE, in the US was accused of forcibly sterilizing detainees, brown and black women, under their care. Spain's history of abortion can serve as a warning for us today. In the 1930s, Spain's liberal Republican government allowed abortion freely in the first semester, 12 weeks, alongside same-sex relationships and civil unions. Franco's dictatorship from 1939 to 1975, that is 50 years ago, completely got rid of the abortion and queer allowance for queer relationships, forced all existing couples to marry, and severely limited rights for women, even allowing husbands to murder their wives if they were suspected of having an affair. While Spaniards were living in the Republican government, they didn't expect this, and they were unprepared, much like us today. The move to restrict reproductive health rights, particularly for women and transgender people, should be taken as a symptom of a larger illness, a move towards fascist politics, prioritizing forced birth as a capital-generating machine and a tool for controlling people, and infringing on their personal bodily autonomy. This move, as seen in the case of Spain and the US, can happen quickly, and we are not out of danger simply because of laws that protect abortion. Even in countries where abortion is generally, albeit drudgingly, permitted, like Spain and Germany, we must not let our guard down and keep fighting to protect freedom and justice for all. Thank you.